you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts and friends, the Blur Girl, Kara Mahorn, and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Hello, I'm done doing... Oh, gosh. Yeah. Y'all ready for this?
There you go.
All right. Listen.
I enabled you,
and I shouldn't have.
That's right.
But here we are. Whatever number we're at, 152, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't
time
know.
Has
we're
no
still
meaning.
Going.
It's all
time has no meaning.
Yeah.
Listen, you.
It's all one big organic globule from which we extract what we need.
You can't be. I mean, that's true about everything else except the Who Won the Week podcast.
That's true.
Critical. Got to listen to it every week. Can't miss it. So hey. There's stuff going. There's stuff going on this week. We'll talk about it in a minute. All manner of streaming related items and Batman's doing things and you know, all such nonsense. Scarlet Witch and Winter Soldier and you know that all that good stuff. But first, we do this thing where Adam dances, but you can't see it because it's a podcast. But trust me, he's doing it in his seat. And also, we talk about things that we're personally geeking out about. We've been doing it for 151 episodes so far. Adam, I'm not sure. Should we continue?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to keep doing the what's winning our week. Adam's no longer allowed to do the...
That's fine.
That's the end of that. Hey, Karima, help. Help. I got an email from one of my bosses that was, help, please help, because I hadn't submitted a bio for the site. And it was help, please help.
I saw that too. And it was funny.
One of my favorite emails ever. I was like, is he okay?
No, I did the same thing. I was like, is he okay? Oh, okay.
Oh, it was just a bio.
But then what freaked me out was like, what would a real emergency look like?
Yeah. It's a bio emergency. Anyway, I submitted my bio. It's very well crafted. That's why I needed the 3 weeks. Karima, what's winning your week?
What's winning my week? Actually, it's a continuation a little bit of last week. Remember how I was raving about Castlevania?
I seem to recall.
And how I got a chance to talk to Adi Shankar. Well, Castlevania got basically renewed. Netflix announced that season three is coming. So that's exciting because I kind of really want to see them go into the history. Like, there's always been this thing with Trevor Belmont's dad, which is really what the game was about, Simon. So I want to see what they do with that. Also, it's fun. I mean, it's that anime style. I'm just geeking out about it. And then the other thing that I'm geeking out about is how Doom Patrol showed up on Titans this week.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
It was like an awkward dinner, but it was really, really cool. And I think it's a good intro to the characters, even if you don't know the comic. I just think it was a really good intro to them. So it's fun. So if you have DC Universe, check it out. You know, listen, let me know what you think because I'm curious.
Okay.
But yeah, it was fun.
I'll look at you guys. There you go. Adam, what's going on with you?
Sup?
What's winning your week?
What's winning my week is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which I have dived into just this past week. I was a little late in catching up to it. And also,
did you finish?
No.
Okay.
But and this is the other thing I was going to say. What's winning my week is the slow consumption of media.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good feeling.
I have rediscovered this, and I want to encourage... I think this should become a movement now.
So no longer binge-watching.
Binge-watching should be over, because I have been taking my time with Sabrina.
I've been
actually watching The Good Place episode by episode this season, as opposed to waiting for it so I could blitz all
the way
through.
I haven't watched the episode from last night yet.
I haven't watched last night's episode either. I'm watching it on Hulu, so I watch it later. But it's still week to week.
Sounds good.
And it's kind of two things. And so one, I want to encourage everybody to give that a try.
Give it a try.
Because it has been really rewarding to take some time. And
Grandpa says, we used to walk to and from school in the 3 feet of snow, and we liked it.
It's interesting, though. No, I agree with this thought process, too, because I've had stuff where I've like watched a show. I've been given a bunch of episodes ahead of time because they want like a bunch of information to be even written and dropped soon.
Yeah, of course.
And I have found even articles that I put out later in a season, like say I'm watching in a whole full season as it airs, mm-hmm. and I actually talk about it as it's going, I find like a lot more people are interested than just, hey, okay, well, I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I'll go watch it now. Yeah. But
and it gives you time to digest everything and have conversations about it. I mean, Sabrina, for example, and again, this is just the last episode I watched, was the one that involved her trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawyer's name is Daniel Webster.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very famous story, The Devil and Daniel Webster. And
I don't know how many people got that, though, because I was saying that on Twitter.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't know how well known that is. It's an older story that, you know, I read in school probably mm-hmm. many, many years ago. But taking the time after that episode to really digest that, I'm going to go look this story up and then I'm going to read it again and process how it, like how they really tied it all into the episode, was nice. I didn't have to blitz to the next one. The weird thing, so I'm totally into Sabrina, by the way. I think it's a really good show that kind of walks on both sides of the horror adventure line pretty well. It's darker than I expected it to be. And what was the thing I was going to say? One criticism I have is that it looks like it's shot in portrait mode all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a really weird effect that is still jarring to me, like 4 or 5 episodes in.
Yeah, I agree.
And I wish they would not.
So that rack focus where things in the near distance are out of focus?
Okay. Yeah, it's weird. And I could see using it for effect once in a while, but
yeah,
because
but it's
every
lot.
Shot.
It's like you're left it on all the time.
Yeah, it's like someone forgot to swipe to the other camera mode. Before they shot this scene. But I think
and then someone said, it's an aesthetic choice. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly. I think it looks great. I mean, otherwise,
that's
what
J.J. Abrams said about all those flashes and stretch.
Wow. Yeah. No, J.J. Abrams owned it eventually. He said, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done it as much. He did do that. He did eventually say, maybe I overdid it. And then Simon Pegg said, nah. Anyway, that's exactly what they said.
Yeah.
No paraphrase.
Yeah. That's how Simon Pegg talks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm digging the show. I think the performances are all really good. It's dark as F.
Wow.
In some ways, which I have
brought
not,
to you by the letter F.
I have not read the Sabrina comics, the recent run of Sabrina comics, so I'm sure that I've heard this is a pretty good adaptation of that. You know, my only familiarity with Sabrina was the TGIF show,
mm-hmm.
which was decidedly lighter-hearted.
Yeah, it's definitely in terms of the vein of it being dark. It's the same. I think the only difference would be there's more Riverdale in it, like Betty and Veronica.
Yeah, well, I think it's darker. People were comparing it to Buffy. I think it's darker than Buffy, at least based on what I've seen so far. I mean, the way I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't watched it yet, but some of the interaction between the aunts, I was just kind of shocked and taken aback by that.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, I'm digging Sabrina and watching it slowly.
Have you watched any of it yet?
Oh, Sabrina? Yeah, I finished it.
Oh, okay.
Well, then
I'm going to have some questions for you a little bit later in the program.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's the end of that segment.
Yeah.
Well done.
Danny.
That's it.
What?
You all ready for this?
Oh.
Tell me what you're geeking out about this week.
Aw, that's so nice of you. I consumed media so slowly, Adam, that I just finished The Haunting of Hill House.
I have not started it.
Just finished it.
I haven't either because I'm scared.
It's it's so depressing, so sad.
Well, they
so
also
good.
Said that somebody told me that all of the children are examples of
the five stages of grief. Yep, it's great. I mean, I was really
intentional, or were people just making that up?
I have not confirmed, but it seems right. That seems right. Anyway, I finished. I slowly watched that, and I definitely would say that is not. I don't think it makes sense to watch that show really fast because there's a lot to drink in. There are articles dedicated to this. There's a video that I think IMDb put out because every episode they hide ghosts. Like there's little ghost Easter eggs everywhere. And
do you win a prize if you find them? I wish.
Sure.
You did. Some show should do that. That would be
sure.
Fun.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Just for you, Adam. You get the,
exactly.
You get the prize. If you find them. Yeah. If you find them all, I'll give you a big old pat on the back.
Sweet.
Real hard. Anyway, so yeah, that one, that's That for sure won my week. And then also, I bought some books. That's right, books. But books with pictures in them, so, you know, not really. I got a book called Ad Nauseam, which is some wonderful soul, Michael Gingold, who grew up in the New York area, would go through all these different newspapers every week and cut out in the 1980s all of the ads for different horror movies. And he kept all of them in a book. And so they, you know, they smoothed them out. They scanned them into this big book that just sort of shows off all the different kinds of ads that they did for horror movies. And, you know, he also sort of expounds on the reviews that came out at the time and sort of interesting facts about those movies. So that was put out by Rumorg, and that is pretty good. And I bought a book for my wife, which was this new big artist edition of Bill Sienkiewicz's art, called Mutants and Moon Knights and Assassins. And it's just a bunch of these sort of full sheets of different pages from New Mutants books and from Elektra Assassin and from some of the Moon Knight stuff that he did, where I think he sort of employs more of a house style. But you really get a full-size look of what it is that he was doing at the time. And it is really great. I bought it from my wife, and then I'm not going to say she shed tears of joy, but she's been having a rough week, and she definitely felt a lot better with the book. And my cat sat on it, and that was very cute. You can look at that.
Oh, he's showing us a picture of his cat, who is adorable.
My cat is the best cat. I love him very much. That's Claude. Claude is also a big Bill Sienkiewicz fan.
Apparently.
So that's the stuff that was running my week, and now the podcast is over. Bye. No. hey, so Adam brought up Sabrina. We have, I think, both watched about the same number of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You have watched the whole thing, Karima. This week?
This week, it's interesting.
There was a kickback. There was a blowback, a response to one element of the show.
Wait, how many episodes are you?
Five.
So I don't think this would be spoiling it. No. So there is. A scene where you've met all three of
the Weird Sisters.
The Weird Sisters, yes. And one of the Weird Sisters is black, and basically there's a confrontation that they have with Sabrina, and you do see them. She employs something to make it look like they are hanging. They don't actually hang. But it's emulating the witches, the original, witch hangings, burning at the stakes or whatever. And so there were quite a few people who, after watching Sabrina, were like, that was not an image I needed to see. And there was a lot of talk about it on Twitter and social media. And then there was this back and forth about basically images that not just are triggering, but there's all the violence that we're seeing right now. Do we need to see more images like this? So there was a discussion that was going back and forth about people that were like, I can't watch this. And the interesting thing is, there was a very similar discussion that came up when American Gods came out, when Shadow was hung. Now, personally, I think that was much more violent because he was covered with blood and there was a rope, an actual rope, and he swung until he died. He was brought back. So that I felt was, that for me, even I felt like, I don't know if I can, I knew it was coming because I read the comics, but I still knew that it was going to be like, there was a lot of people who were very freaked out, turned off by this. And then coupled that with the fact that Ambrose, her cousin, who is also not African-American, he's British, happens to be black, that can't leave the house. I will, because he's basically on house arrest for something he did years ago. But the fact that he's sort of like at the house, can't leave. And one of these women who was also African-American was hung. Yes, the images and this portion of the storyline triggered a lot of people. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have been triggered. I completely agree. But I think it speaks to a larger issue. And that is, when we get into the conversations about diversity, because I think Sabrina is a very diverse cast, and not just ethnically, but also LGBTQ characters represented. There's larger women. There's not everybody's like a toothpick. I think it's actually very well represented. But I think when we get into these conversations about characters of color, many times when I think characters are cast in terms of making certain characters diverse and looking at storylines, I think if there's not more people, I think, in the room to say, okay, that image may cause a problem. I'm not saying don't cast a person of color. I'm saying maybe this person over here should be the person of color that you cast. This is just me throwing things around. This was not the discussion. Most of the discussion was really angry.
There was another thing.
Get out. Angry discussion on the internet?
Exactly. Yeah. But from my perspective, what I took away from it, because I had a lot of people asking me, and I had to sit with it because I did like, the reason why I finished it was because I couldn't stop watching it. I thought Sabrina was done very well. But I didn't go into it thinking, I don't know, maybe I'm just jaded. I'm just used to seeing black women killed on screen. I don't know. But I felt that for me personally, Shadows hanging in American Gods, and I'm using that as the what you don't want to do, was so much more horrible to me that I guess was able to accept this better. But at the same time, when I took a step back and looked at the story as a whole, I felt that when you're having these conversations about diversity, you also have to look at storylines and look at things, you know, integrate things, you know, all together and maybe have a discussion. And I'm not saying that the writer's room didn't have a discussion. Maybe they did. Maybe they came to the consensus that it was fine. It was not canon. That scene wasn't canon. And that was the other thing that people were saying, like, why was it necessary? And I remember having conversations about this during Game of Thrones, like, this part isn't even in the book. Why did she have to be raped again? Like something like that. So again, overall, I like Sabrina. I do. I like the entire season. I think it was done well. I will watch a second season. I don't want to spoil it for you. Ambrose is not a slave. For anybody who thinks that that's what's happening, he's not a slave. He is actually a warlock. Something happened. I'm not going to give it away. And that is why he's been stuck in the house. And his storyline, they do go into his storyline more. And I do like the fact that he's a gay character, that we get to see more of his relationships and things like that. But I understand the anger, and I understand, because what happens many times is it's sort of like kill the gay, shoot the black guy. And that's where the vitriol was coming from. Now, I will say this. At a certain point, it did get to a fever pitch where people who had never even watched the show, were just commenting. But I do see where people were coming from, and I agree to a certain extent. That scene, I don't know whether or not that scene was necessary to show how powerful Sabrina was. That was, I think that was what I came away with. And could it have been done differently?
I have a follow-up question, which is the stuff that I had heard initially was not that stuff, but the fact that much like has happened in the past, and most recently I can think of happened with Jessica Jones season 2, is that they make a lot of hay about Sabrina being, you know, half human and half witch, and they make the vessel for this conversation that she is somehow less because she is not one or the other does come through Prudence.
Yeah.
And that this has become a bit of a trope wherein it turns out that it's those mean black ladies who are the real racists, you see.
Yeah, but the reason why I don't agree with that is because Prudence wasn't the only one. The mean girls weren't all black.
Right.
That's the reason why I don't agree with that. I do agree with the whole mean witch thing. But if all of the witches were black, including Ambrose, and they were the only, then I would say this is ridiculous. But the fact that there's a white girl and an Asian girl who are also represented as witches, I don't agree with that. I do, for the people, and I am not biracial, so I'm not going to speak to that. I did see there were people that were biracial that were like, you know what? I'm tired of, like, this is one of those things, again, where you have to choose. At the end of the day, I think the one problem I did have with Sabrina, I felt was scripted this way. And that was when Ambrose says this to her, you haven't gotten there yet. Ambrose says this to her later, like, why do you feel like none of the rules apply to you? Why do you keep doing stuff and we all have to clean it up like it doesn't apply to you? And I actually think that is a point that the show was trying to make, is that Sabrina, although I'm not quite sure if we get that at the end, but Sabrina thinks because she is of both worlds that she is special. There are certain things that she does because she is from a powerful line of warlocks. But I feel like that conversation that you're having that you saw is also bordering on like why are the witches always the evil ones? But her aunts are witches. See what I'm saying? So that particular argument I couldn't quite agree with. I can see the one about the hanging. That was a very strong visual representation. That one I'm like, because I remember some of the same conversations happening with Coven when American Horror Story Coven came out and Angela Bassett's character. First of all, Angela Bassett can do whatever she wants. So, but it was sort of like, why does she have to be the evil voodoo priestess? And I'm like, but they're all evil witches. That's the whole show. They're, none of them are really good. Like, they're all pretty bad. Granted, I don't think the one with her taking babies and things like that. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give that part away. But I didn't like that part. But I'm not saying that she wasn't the only person doing horrible, horrible things. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of these discussions come up, and this is the thing. Again, if there were more, it's. I don't think we have to have less diverse characters. I think we need to have more, because if there were more to choose from, we wouldn't fight over the one or two that we see. So if there were more shows out there that had, like, I would love to see a spinoff about Prudence. Again, I'm not going to give away her story, but when you find out certain things about her, it's like, oh, I want to know about your mom. You know, like, I want that story. Hopefully at some point we'll get it, because from what I can tell, they cover a lot of the run of the comics in this first season. Mm-hmm. So they could, it's kind of like, I remember having this conversation about Night Flyers. Night Flyers is a novella. It's going to come out, and the whole first season is a novella. And I remember asking one of the creators, I'm like, so what are we getting second season? If we get a second season, what are we getting? He's like, oh, a whole new story. So it's possible that they could dive into each of these characters and flesh them out even more. But I don't think it's a bad thing that we're having these discussions either. Because even though a lot of people, like, not the angry, crazy, evil ones just to be angry, but some of the more thoughtful discussions have been bringing up this idea of, like, let's have more stories. And Netflix is full of them. So I'm hoping Netflix will greenlight a few more stories with more characters of color that are in this genre, because there's clearly an audience for it.
Well, I definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any input, Adam?
I feel like I'm the least qualified person to speak on this. I mean, I certainly opinions.
You're not further along for when more things happen.
But here's what, for what it's worth, as a, you know, white male in this circumstance, in my opinion, if that was all there was to the character, yes, I could see, I could get upset about that. And I think also, I don't know, at least as far along as I am, that Sabrina's status as witch or mortal is really being treated as a metaphor for race, as we understand it.
Yeah,
societally.
I think it really looks, it's really, it doesn't, more of a, it it's a class thing for me. Yeah, that's what it looks like, not race. It looks like classism to me.
Doesn't feel like they're setting it up that way. So, and I get that this is a thing that has happened before, and so it's kind of emerging as this trope. And but And I'm also, my genuine curiosity, and I don't know the answer to this, is the makeup of the Sabrina Writers Room. Are there people of color in there? I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's entirely possible, because the thing is that, and we've talked about this before, it's not like African Americans are a monoculture. People believe different things on every issue. And I've seen this in discussion, because I always want to listen and see what people are saying on these topics.
There could be people who listen to this that say, oh God, Cameron's lost her mind. Forget it. She's canceled.
Or the other way around. And on all these issues. So it could very well be that there was someone in the writer's room who was part of that process, who is a black person and was fine with it. And because that was their individual experience and their individual take on it, doesn't mean that's right or wrong. So I don't know. It's hard for me to speak on it, because I don't know the context that went into making those decisions as to tell this story this particular way with these images. But I agree with Karamer 100%. It's great to discuss this stuff. I would just encourage everybody to discuss this stuff and not turn into just yelling at each other, which is what most of the internet ends up becoming, is just, let's all yell at each other. I'm going to make a speech, then you make a speech, etc. Because I agree. Like, I learned so much just from having these discussions, and that's really important to me. But I think, again, context is important, and the idea of even a few issues with the show doesn't mean that the show as a whole needs to be dismissed or canceled or whatever you want to call it. I have a real problem with that in general.
And also, we are forgetting one character. That's the other thing I wanted to say. I also don't have a problem with people of color being the bad guys, as long as that's not the only character.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Like, it can be complex, you know, things. So her friend Roz, Jazz Sinclair plays Roz, and I love her because hair goals. But she's I think she's fantastic, and she's also another woman of color who's not on the quote-unquote, if we're going to use the language that's been used in these discussions, on the evil side. I think the whole point is all these kids have powers to a certain extent. Like, Roz's is a little bit different. But if it was only, I was about to call her Florence. Good Lord.
Prudence.
If it was only Prudence, all these like 50s names. If it was only Prudence.
Dorcas, by the way. That name needs to come back in a big way.
If Prudence was the only character of color and she was doing all of the crap, I would be furious. But she's not. And I think we can't ignore Roz's character, because I think she actually has a strong, and I hope to see her have an even stronger role season two. So that was the other thing I wanted to say.
No, you know what this actually brought to mind for me was the discussion recently that's been happening around Apu on The Simpsons.
Yes.
And I fall out on the other side of the Apu discussion, interestingly enough, because I was on Reddit and I was seeing some people discuss this thing, because there was a rumor at one point that they were pulling Apu entirely from the show, and now I think that's
Adi Shankar started
that rumor. That's not true or whatever. But so people were discussing it, and a lot of people were just like, yeah, but sure, he's, you know, Quickie Mart owner, but they've also explored his character. He was a doctor, blah, blah, blah. But the other people were saying, but he's the only one. And I think that is so key to this discussion, part of what you're talking about. If Apu is a stereotype and he's the only Indian or South Asian character on that show, other than his immediate family.
Yeah.
And that's all
you don't
you
really
have.
Show up very much.
Yeah, and that's all you have of depiction of that. So a lot of people were saying, and I agree with, and that goes to Karima's point, if you had several, or you had a lot of shows that, you know, Master of None is a recent example, but even still, that's kind of an outlier. If you had just Indian representation throughout media and Apu just happened to be one of them, I think people wouldn't care as much, you know, and it wouldn't be as big a deal.
Adi Shankar actually created in his bootleg universe his own animated thing with Apu. He had a thing with he had a discussion. They animated him and the actor who was the voice, who's not doing it anymore, the voice of Apu. They had a whole discussion about the character. And Adi even said, I like Apu. And I like The Simpsons. I don't want to change The Simpsons. I want to change how the character is represented. Like, I don't have any members of my family who talk like this.
Right.
Like, why does this have to be the trope? And it was a very interesting conversation, because he was saying, I don't think you should trash it.
Right.
I think you should keep it. Just change it. And then what I think happened was, I think they are in talks about, like, possibly dropping it, but he unauthorized just came out and said, yeah, I talked to one of the writers and they're not doing it anymore. And you can't say that, because it wasn't literally, Fox never said that. But yeah, it's just one of those things where,
and I guess that's where, like, with Sabrina, if we want to call the hanging scene, for example, a misstep, I'm kind of, and I'm the last person who can actually be, I should say, I'm okay with this, because who gives a shit, but excuse my language, what I think about it. But I, you know, it's like, if it was that, and that was the only image and the only story we had with a person of color on the show, then I feel like there's a real big issue. But because it is a diverse cast with a lot of different characters of color who have different stories and go through different things, it seems like there's at least an effort being made to tell those stories in a certain way. And so it's like, okay, maybe they misstepped here, but they're making an effort. And
I completely agree. And I also think sometimes real life situations are affecting a lot of these conversations. Because literally just this week, a black man was hung in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I think also I saw a lot of conversations about Sabrina coming out of that. And I'm like, okay, wait. One of these is real.
right,
and should be treated as such. I don't think we should be talking about a real life death with a fictional character. Like, hang on. So sometimes I think real life, and honestly, it's because also you just mentioned this earlier, our constant seeing of images and taking in of streaming and things like that. But I don't know. I think it's a discussion that I would love to have one of the creators of the show or something on to talk about if we can find them. So go do that, Danny. Go find them.
I actually know someone who writes for that show.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So Adam, you go take care of that.
I'll see if I can get a hold of him. Yeah.
Get on that. All right.
And Spider-Man. We got to get the Spider-Man guy.
Oh, yeah. He's available, by the way. Anyway.
To him. Yeah. Spider-Gob.
Talk to Spider-Man. I love you, Dad.
Anyway. We solved it all. Good job.
We did.
Good work.
Mostly me.
Yeah. It was definitely you. That's cracked. Speaking of streaming service stuff, hey, I know that this sounds crazy since they're all dead, but there's a rumor that Disney's going to have they got their streaming service, and Scarlet Witch maybe is going to be joined by Vision. Unbelievable, because they're both dead. And then also, get this craziness, also dead yet somehow maybe going to get a show, Bucky. AKA the Winter Soldier, and Sam Wilson, AKA Falcon, AKA potentially version of Captain America.
So all of you fan fiction writers out there that have been writing Bucky Sam stories.
Yeah, your day has come.
Your day is coming.
Theoretically. It's funny because
the Vision one was the first one that really took me by surprise, because he didn't die in the snapshot.
Yeah, he really got
it. So yeah. I was not sure that he was
See, now that to me, the Scarlet Witch Vision thing, if it's Vision, that could be pre.
That's what I was going to say. The way the Infinity War 1 started was they were living together and they had all this stuff. I was like, ooh, how did we get here? So if they wanted to create.
Maybe they're
going to
fill in that blank.
That better be a sitcom. That better be a neighborhood sitcom.
I mean, they've had comics where
I'm saying.
That Vision series that came out maybe a year or two ago. Yeah. 2 years ago.
I don't know if Bucky and Sam, there's enough. Not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's enough there in the comics. I don't know if there's enough there for the two of them to. It feels like a buddy cop thing that they're trying to do with them, and I'm like,
I would not. I'm not going to bet against Marvel when it comes to storytelling with these characters
right now. True.
I mean, honestly,
I just find it interesting. Was
who
the
was
other
it
reason
who said
why
it was going to be like Lethal Weapon? I was like, sounds good.
Somebody said it's going to be Lethal Weapon with gear. But what's interesting is that
what's the
good
downside? Sounds good.
I think it also says something. We were talking about all these shows that were getting canceled on Netflix. It's leaning more in the direction of, okay, so their streaming service is coming, and maybe they're just repackaging a lot of these characters.
Well, and it's just a really smart strategy for them, because I think it allows them to serve all these characters and stories in a way that fans want without investing the amount of money that it takes to produce a film, a feature film. I mean, you know, people have been clamoring on a certain level for a Black Widow movie for a long time, and I guess we're getting one. But, you know, rather than saying, oh, where's the Falcon movie? It's like, no, we're going to do a Falcon TV show, and it's going to cost us a third of the amount of money it would cost to make the movie, and people are going to love it. So
he's only going to fly once a season.
Yeah, yeah, you know? So I think it's just really smart, and I think it's the way, to quote Leonardo DiCaprio as Howard Hughes, it's the way of the future. Way of the future.
Not bathing is the way of the future.
I mean, that's look at like The Mandalorian. It's the same thing, right? We're not going to get a Boba Fett movie, but now we're getting a show with a guy in the armor, and it's going to scratch that itch that people have been begging for, who have been begging for a Boba Fett movie have for all this time. And so I think, especially as Disney, you know, and the budgets for these movies continue to go through the roof, they're insane. You have to have a mega hit in order for it to be worth it. And so for them to do these little shows or mini series or whatever they end up being, I think it's really smart.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. And it's also a good way to take characters. I feel like if DC streaming service had more than just Titans, like if they had dropped Young Justice first, everybody would be on DC Universe. Because I think there's so many more fans of that.
People do want that.
Yeah.
No, but it's just not coming.
Or they should do that. Well, they can't do that with The Flash now, but I'm saying they could have done that with The Flash with, you know, is an Ezra Miller fronted Flash movie ever really going to get made and make a bazillion dollars at the box office? No. I'm going to say no. That's my bet. But I think that they could have launched a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And
could've,
they, I mean,
they could have done.
Yeah. So I mean, even honestly, even Aquaman.
I think that Aquaman needs the budget.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm really into that. I mean, I'm down.
I think they're waiting to see. I mean, they're waiting to see what happens with the movie, I think. But also, I mean, there's a lot of comic stuff. That, I mean, even this week that dropped, John to Earth dropped this week. So there's push for it. But I don't know. I think Disney's smart, though.
I think it's actually the comic book model, right? You have all these shows, and then the movies are the annuals.
Yes. That would make sense. That makes sense. Like, and you get to see like the splash pages or the extra scenes that you get to see, you know, in between. I mean, I kind of miss, which I think they could turn into some great stuff on Disney. I remember those the shorts that they used to put out in between the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like the like people would just find weapons and stuff like that. I think all that sort of ended up being folded into S.H.I.E.L.D. But I think if they could do more of those, but yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot on the Disney streaming service.
I think it's actually, I like the comics analogy, and I'll tell you why. I was thinking about Supernatural came back, and that's like, I don't know how, I don't really have a lot of friends that still watch Supernatural.
Yeah,
but
I don't understand.
I'm not going to explain that, but here's what I will explain. Because, so this show is in its 14th season, right? 14 seasons, and yet it's still going. And I'm going to tell you right now, because I think I cracked the case, they make that show like how comic books used to be made, whereas they have a previously at the front that tells you, like, just like you open up a comic book, and then it'll have the little paragraph of what you need, and they make sure that every episode has its own self-contained story.
Yes.
Adds to the mythos in some way, and also, if you missed, like, if you didn't watch the last four, honestly, if you'd never seen an episode before, like they did an episode this week where they're going investigating like a comic book store where the guy who owned it died and now he's possessing all the toys. They have lore related stuff and they just find a way to very quickly spit that jargon. They give it to you real quick, like real fast and dirty. Like, here's the stuff that's happening around in the continuity. So if you are watching this and you want to understand, they really do have a formula. And what it reminds me of is the way comics used to be done in, let's say, from the 40s through to probably around the 80s. In the 90s, it started to shift a little bit, but did a really good job
dropping number ones every month.
So Chris, so I think that
when a number one really meant something.
If you think about Chris Claremont as a model, he was very good at that, wherein every issue would have its own story, but would also push this ongoing narrative and stuff that you needed to know. They would find a way to pepper it in, whether it is in a little editorial box down at the bottom or in something that a character says. Supernatural has the ability to do that. And I think that that is something actually that Marvel TV shows could probably benefit from, because they're always dealing with that challenge, right?
Yeah.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. had all sorts of problems. That's a whole other layer, right? Because everyone's talking about how great it is that these are going to be more connected to the movie universe. Boy, they better get their timeline straight.
Right.
That's another thing. Like,
well, I think a Marvel misstep was everybody they didn't bet the farm, but they bet a lot on Inhumans. And when Inhumans, like, there's storylines from comics, from S.H.I.E.L.D. and a bunch of things that were feeding into that series. And when that fell down, it didn't work. It was sort of like, okay, we're repairing timelines. And by the time that happened, I knew. I was like, oh, yeah, no, Thanos is going to destroy this timeline because they got to start over. But it's good to know that everybody's coming back.
Yeah. But again, like, this is the thing that's sort of interesting, is that there's a way to sort of resolve that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, Inhumans happened. Well, Wayward Sisters was supposed to come out. Supernatural was supposed to have a whole spinoff show that without explanation as yet, and probably will never get the true story. Not going to happen. So you know what Supernatural did? They just folded that right in. Not this week, the episode that just aired, but the previous week they started. They brought all those characters.
I was glad to see that the characters were coming back. Yeah.
They're including that storyline in. So there's, you know, you have to be adaptive, I guess. What I'm saying, shockingly, is more people could learn from Supernatural a show that most people think is very silly, but has successfully lasted for 14 seasons and will probably get at least one more before they finally wrap. And any show that can last 15 years is unreal.
But the thing about Supernatural is it's one of those shows that, like you said, you can jump in at any point. Like, I can't, I mean, if I'm on a coast-to-coast flight, I'm watching Supernatural. Or if I'm homesick, I'm probably, in fact, the first time I watched it was one of those holidays where they put all the episodes like up but out of order.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna write an article on this topic actually.
And it's interesting.
Genuinely.
I think,
and I got into it because I was like, I don't understand what's happening, but I like this. And I remember not binge watching actually, because it took me 2 weeks to do it, going through like 10 seasons because I was like, this is fascinating.
Right. It's crazy.
I mean, and I think that's a very tricky balance to strike, what you're talking about with the mythos versus the circular storytelling. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, everything used to be just circular. Everything was the same at the end of the episode as it was at the beginning. You solved your crisis, back to square one. And we have swung all the way in the opposite direction for the most part in terms of how stories are told on TV now. But there is that middle ground, and maybe it's tricky to walk, and that's why a lot of people don't do it.
I mean, Supernatural doesn't always succeed at it, but I will say that over the course of 14 seasons, they've definitely figured out a kind of model that more often than not will work. You know, Supernatural has its own set of problems, just like everything does. But I do think when it comes to this particular element, there is a lot to be learned. There's a lot that, especially something like a Disney Marvel, wherein they're trying to juggle TV stuff, multiple networks, their own streaming service plus movies. I actually think that Supernatural is something that they can sort of look to and say, oh, okay, so this is how you sort of manage to meld all of those things.
So what you're saying is that you're guaranteeing a Supernatural MCU crossover where the brothers show up.
I still am waiting for the thing that's that. No, I don't want that. That sounds great.
You
that sounds
have personally
fun.
Guaranteed it just now.
I have personally made a promise that I will do everything in my power that if Supernatural gets one more season, which it really should. I know that Batwoman's the focus of the Arrowverse this year when they do their crossover event, but when the Supernatural boys go out, when they announce that 15 is going to be the last season, which I really believe that they will, because I mean, them kids is tired. I'm sure they've all made lots of money.
Jensen Ackles was the voice of Red Hood. In that, I can't
and
remember.
He, and
the,
he dressed up as Red Hood for Halloween
exactly.
this year.
Exactly. He wants to be Red Hood so badly. Like he really, like
they
if
gotta
they would,
do, they,
the,
gotta
they
do
gotta
something.
Bring him onto Gotham or something. Cause he
well, yeah,
really wants to be Red Hood.
That is not going to happen, but they could do it on Titans. They could bring him
they
on.
Could.
But I do think, honestly, truthfully, I hope that next year's CW Arrowverse crossover that they'll finally get around. They were there. Like, this is the crazy thing. They had pictures of Jensen Ackles on the set because he's buds with a couple of those folks. So he was just there on the set. Like, I don't think he's popping up, but I think absolutely unquestionably they would be wild.
They can't
not
bring him
to.
On the Titans though, because the Robin that's there
that's
now hates Batman so much that they can't have two
they
people.
They can't have another one.
That hate, right? Like his anger for Batman is too visceral right now. Like maybe if he gets over it by
so
the
what
end
you're
of
saying
episode
is
season one, maybe
Jensen Ackles should play Batman.
That would be amazing.
I mean,
it's not Louis Tan, which was the rumor.
Oh yeah, that would have been
amazing.
Very, very good. But Jensen, I will say, Jensen Ackles did an episode of Supernatural wherein there's a lucky rabbit's foot that as long as you got it, you're really lucky. You could do anything, but as soon as you lose it, you're gonna die pretty much immediately.
Yeah,
but
unlucky.
But he gets it in his hand and he does a bit where he throws a pencil into the barrel of a gun. And it causes everybody to, like, the gun misfires. They all fall over themselves. And he just stands there for the rest of the while. And then he looks at the camera and he goes, I'm Batman.
Exactly.
It's so good. It's so good. And actually, I do genuinely believe Jensen Ackles would make a great... I don't know how good he would make as a movie Batman, but he would make a great TV Batman.
Or if he wasn't if he wasn't Bruce Wayne, if they do a live-action Batman Beyond...
Yeah, I mean, look, if you can let Diedrich Bader be Batman, which they did in
Maybe
Batman the Brave
old,
and the Bold, and he was great, you can let Jensen Ackles do it. Anyway, I didn't mean for this to turn into a Supernatural discussion, but hey, very quickly, on the subject of streaming, because a lot of streaming stuff was going on, they dropped a preview, it was just a hair and makeup test, of Henry Cavill as Geralt. From The Witcher. People sure did have a diverse...
Oh, my God.
Diverse series of opinions.
They were like, Legolas' cousin and all this kind of stuff.
I don't know why studios and like release stuff
just,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
Yeah, it was weird, right?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I have
any
a theory.
Anytime. I have never seen an early like conceptual shot of someone in costume or in makeup.
It was very early.
That is well.
That's ever done yeah, good.
That is well received by
done
the
well,
internet.
Excuse me.
Yeah, because on yeah. Because when everybody was losing their minds over Starfire on Titan, she looks fine.
Right.
But it's a whole different story. Right.
Wolverine.
Yes.
Terminator Genesis, admittedly, is not a good film. But in that shoot came out from Entertainment Weekly. Where
I always think of Scooby-Doo. I told you, those first shots where they just had the Scooby-Doo cast in a white space behind them and they looked terrible.
Don't
in the movie, they looked fine.
Ever do this. Why do this?
No, I know why they do it. Good attention, bad attention. It's all attention.
I suppose
they
that's
get
true.
People to talk about the movie that's coming out. I don't think it's a great discussion. But at the end of the day, honestly, if anybody has seen the game, what did they think he was going to look like? Like it's supposed to be a guy. I even think that Cavill is younger than the character that was in the game. If
he
I
just looks
correctly.
So he looks so forlorn.
Yeah, but I mean,
but he
so
is
did,
forlorn.
It just feels
Geralt is
that's
forlorn.
His resting, that's
I know,
his,
but
yes.
he walked face. Up. He looked into the camera, and all I could think was, "I was Superman."
he just
looks so sad. He looks so blue, and then he drank his little vial.
I mean, and the
his
thing
little
that,
potion.
I don't understand people saying him look like Lego. Like the character
has white
looks
hair.
Like that is that is exactly what the character looks like, except it's Henry Cavill's face. I don't know what you're expecting. Like, what could have been different about that would have made it better? I mean, in the later games, he's got a beard and he's more haggard, and I'm sure they will get there. You know, or if they're telling those stories,
but here's the
I'm
thing:
sure
if the first image we saw had a beard and a mustache, they call him Santa Claus,
right?
Like, there's no win. You can't win for losing. Like, he'd be like, "Oh, it's Santa Claus's nephew." Like, what? So yeah, I'm completely with Adam on this. Like, let's just wait until we at least see a scene, a trailer, something with effects and graphics in it. Because I don't know. And Adam, also to the point, if they're going to give us an image, give us a color corrected image, put in the background.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, give us something that's comped.
Yeah.
Like, don't give us just, hey, we're just shooting something.
Yeah. It is. I mean, so yeah, I like you said, I'm sure they're glad it's getting attention, regardless of what kind of attention it's getting. And the other thing being, you wonder too if there's a little bit of them when they show him in context, people are like, "Oh, it actually looks great,"
yeah,
and that's going to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll end up being silly, and we'll all laugh, haha. But I don't know.
Wow, well, got him.
It's just I just it's not something to really judge yet.
Yeah,
this is
we're
if
not
that's
there
all
yet.
We have to go on, like. That's all just wait and see.
And also, for those of you who have not watched Titans yet because you saw those other shots of Starfire, watch it. There's a whole explanation for her outfit, how she looks. Honestly, she's probably the strongest character on the show, her and the young lady that plays Rachel. But Beast Boy is adorable.
Okay. I'll get around to it. I mean, you know, I am just following Adam's...
Watching things one thing at a time.
Your rule of watching things slowly
it's
rather
true.
Than binging them.
This is the new thing.
I am doing that. So, you know, I will eventually get to Titans, but I have to do as my boss says, instructs, which is
I'm just a rebel.
Which is go slow.
This is not an order. This is something that you have to choose for yourself. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything.
Oh. Mm, all right.
Yeah.
Free will. Ugh.
Exactly.
Did you, anybody want to talk about anything else?
No, the only other thing that I thought was funny was the trailer for Will Smith and Tom Holland's new...
Did you really think that was funny?
No, because
yeah,
I
have to be honest.
I thought
also,
it was funny because I was, and not funny, haha, funny weird.
Yes,
like, yes
that is true.
That is the word for it. What's
funny,
the name of the movie, just very quickly?
Oh, it's called Spies in Disguise.
Okay.
And I just don't, like, the first part of the trailer, I was like, oh, okay, it's sort of like Men in Black Incredibles. Let's see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like...
And then he was like getting pigeon
then
with
he's
it.
A pigeon. And yeah. I'm like, why are we a bird?
That's what I thought. I thought the Incredibles linked too. I was like, okay, they're making a spy Incredibles.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm on board. And then he's a bird. Why is he a bird? I don't want to hear... This is like making... This is
I
like
mean,
making...
haven't we all wondered, what if a super spy became a bird? I know that is a question that I have thought in my mind for years.
Yeah,
and now at last
so
it's being
on addressed.
Yeah, but I mean, like now it's almost like seeing Sam Jackson as a puppy. Like I don't want to hear Will Smith screaming through a pigeon.
Well, no, but I guess I mean again, like I could see why a pigeon. What
I don't
what
know.
Is the link there? None. You know, like, again, I could see.
It made me think of Brave, honestly.
He's a dog
lover. The bear and all that stuff.
But even that, like, the bears are a part of the whole story. This is just kind of like, it feels, at least based on this trailer, does he have a connection to pigeons? Has he always hated pigeons and now he's a pigeon?
No, it seems like Tom Holland has a connection to pigeons. Like, Tom Holland's character, and I'm saying Tom Holland, but the animated character that he plays, because this is animated, by the way. Will Smith is not live action turning into a pigeon.
That would be
this
amazing.
More interesting. Yeah. This is animated. I think that it's Tom Holland's character that's because there seem to be other birds in the scene. And again, I don't want to judge this before I see a full trailer. It was just a teaser. But I was, so what I'm saying, it was funny. It was funny, weird, not funny, haha. It was just, what is happening?
I mean, I hope there is some kind of setup like that, because then it makes sense. Like, okay, he's always hated pigeons. They get in his way. He's irritated them. And now he's a pigeon.
Right.
What irony.
Exactly.
You know, that I could
God
get
has
behind.
A sense of humor.
But the way the trailer sets it up, it's just kind of like, sure, he's a. It could have been anything. It feels very arbitrary. He's a pigeon. He could have been a squirrel or a bear or dog or whatever. But we chose pigeon because birds are hot right now.
Well, he is flying all the time in the trailer. He keeps doing.
So the only thing
that
Tom Holland does say was that pigeons are seen everywhere and nobody sees them. Pigeons are everywhere and nobody pays attention to them, so they're perfect for being a spy.
I also think that's inaccurate.
An
inaccurate statement. Let me just state for the record that when I get off the train, I walk through a parking lot. So I can, it's like a little shortcut to get back to my home. And they actually have on the wall pigeonholes. So I'm always watching out for them pigeons because they pop out and poop on you if you're not careful.
Oh my God.
So I'm always thinking about them. I have pigeons on the brain.
He should have been a squirrel or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if in New York City, I don't know. I definitely think about pigeons. Sure. Like, I'm watching out for pigeons.
I got pooped on this morning.
Oh my God.
On my head.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah,
wow.
That is absolutely true.
That's good luck, they say, which is a lie.
If I were to turn into a pigeon today, that would be a wacky adventure.
There you go.
That would make sense, right?
Would you then go around and poop on other people? Would you poop on other pigeons?
If you turn into a pigeon, can I have the triple on your desk?
I will bet you $1 million right now that I do not have that there will be at least one pigeon poop. Like, he enjoys pooping on statues or he poops on someone.
Right, because it's going to be
something.
Yeah, you got to.
And it's really funny. No, but here's the thing. This is the one thing I did think of, and I will let it go, I promise. But Will Smith has, like, before this year, he really wasn't on social media and stuff. And this year, he's on, like, Twitter. He's on Instagram. Yeah. He's on his son's Instagram.
Well,
he's doing parody videos.
There was a connection, too, because it was, like, in the trailer, he was doing the thing where he's flying around and, like, jumping out planes. And that's what Will Smith was doing in his real life because he was afraid to fly. And then he jumped out the plane.
Exactly. And so I thought there was all this sort of, like, Will Smith is bringing up his social media and stuff because he's going to, I'm thinking, besides Bad Boys, he's going to be dropping a new movie. I was not ready for it to be an animated feature where he turns into a bird. I thought, like, your big comeback is what?
Yes. There's literally a gif of him making that.
Exactly.
That face is, to me,
that's the response to this entire teaser.
He played himself. Which makes sense because DJ Khaled is in this movie.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
Another one.
Nailed it.
From DJ Khaled.
Got him. Yeah, another one from DJ
Khaled. Although it does have a good cast.
It does.
Tom Holland, Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, who I love, is in there. And I usually don't say no to Will Smith movies. When he tries to do serious movies, that's usually where I draw the line. For the most part, I'm not really as interested in a serious Will Smith film, I have to be honest.
I mean, didn't Martin Lawrence just say this week that Bad Boys 3 is happening?
Yeah, it is.
That's not a serious film, though.
You know why it's happening?
Wow.
Because Martin hasn't done anything since the second one, and he begged Will. I'm making this all up. And he begged Will.
I'm making it all up.
He begged Will. Just Will was like, all right, man, I will do one more movie with you just so you can just pay
but
for retirement.
But you're right, though, because, like, look at Bright. That movie was not good.
No,
Will
it
Smith
wasn't.
Not great.
Carried the hell out of it as much as
and
he could.
It's,
you know what I mean?
That guy, season.
Yeah, he's a movie star. So
I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, like, look, here's the facts. I probably will. I like Will Smith. I like Karen Gillan. I like Tom Holland. I'm probably going to watch the silly ass pigeon movie. I can't even lie. I wonder if that's just
for kids.
Is it just a test to see you know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. This wouldn't even be a debate. If this movie started The Rock, you would be there. You'd
That's
be
true.
Like, The Rock is a pigeon. You'd be watching it.
But here's the funny thing, too. Karima just made the ultimate point. which is that I am a 43-year-old man sitting here debating whether I'm going to enjoy the animated pigeon movie. This is not for me. This is for my nieces and nephews who are 8 years old. You know, they're going to love it. So, yeah.
You know what it is? Maybe, and I was just thinking of this. I'm going
to
be...
I need to check myself here.
I forgot to tell you guys this. I'm going to be an aunt. I'm going to be an aunt next year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Congratulations.
So this is going to be like my excuse if it comes out next Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to take her. We need to...
Let's take her to the pigeon
She's
movie.
She's not even going to be able to talk. I'm like, yeah.
Because honestly, if they are making an animated pigeon movie that appeals to me, they've probably done something wrong.
Adam's pigeon movie.
I'm going to revise my whole take on this trailer and say, great, the kids are going to love it.
There you go.
There you go.
Good work. Okay. I think we've done it. Just another week in the books.
We have.
Yeah, we don't need... Not every episode actually turns out has to be an hour and a half.
That's true.
Hooray. Hey, thank you for listening to this podcast.
This is what happens when Adam comes back.
That's
We're
right.
We're not allowed
Things
to
go back. No, I wasn't that. He wasn't. You didn't.
I sucked all the energy right out of
You didn't give the death glare, keep it short. I wasn't trying to. It just happened that way.
Anjali tried last week. She was trying to keep us.
Yeah.
There was no wrangling that happened. Don't put that on Adam. He didn't come in like the cops. He's a good person.
That's right.
Come on now. Anyway, hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe to the podcast. If you want to give a review, please give a review. Don't complain that I say the word like too much. That's annoying. Everything else is welcome. Multiple people will complain about me saying like too much, including my boss. Anyway, so please do that. And please also check out all the other podcasts. Check out Strong Female Characters, Fandom Files, and then all the many shows that we cover. We try to do as many sci-fi shows with corresponded podcasts and also all of our Amazon Alexa stuff. So if you got Alexa, check that out. You can check out Adam. He'll tell you the news.
That's right.
He'll slow jam it to you every day.
I should really start slow jamming that news brief.
Awesome. You should really do that. You have a really smooth voice. You should give
you
it a shot.
Do that. You can pull
Thank
it
you.
Off.
Yeah.
You pull it off.
Anyway, so that is the end. As we wrap up, where can the boys and girls find the two of you? Not at your homes. That would be weird. Where can they find you on the internet?
Yeah, don't come to my house. You can find me, Karima, the blurred girl, TheBlerdGurl. All over social, but I get mail on Twitter.
And you can find me, Adam Spodersky, on Instagram at RockTheFaces.
And you can find me, Danny Roth, on Twitter and Instagram at DannyOrdinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary, also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.